listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. You are here with myself and my friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin, for another 360-degree look, not just at finding a job or getting a job, but really, truly connecting to our purpose. How do we take it a step above it and really tap into what is our destiny? How do we make our lives worthwhile and have fun as we do it? So before we dive into today's topic, which we're going to be delving into communication, and I think we all have the opportunity to expand our capacity to be better communicators at some level or another, personally, professionally, and especially in business, I do want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States. They offer a variety of services, including temporary services, payrolling, and executive search functions. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. All right. So Brandon, you know, I know you are kind of the guru, the guy who likes to give definitions and give context, the ex-attorney turned life transformational executive coach. I want to start with you and ask you, why is communication critical? Whether you're a C-suite executive, whether you're a parent, whether you're, you know, stepping into your first job or at the sunlight, you know, sundowner of your career, why is communication so critical?
Communication is the oxygen or flow or blood, like that makes everything go. That starts when we're babies. I mean, it starts from the earliest age of eye contact and holding. It starts with, you know, communication has so many levels. Starting really young with this, you know, more physical, you know, then we get emotional, we get verbal, and we get nonverbal. There are so many myriads of levels. Now, why does it matter? Because if anyone has ever had, and many has had, a bad manager who does not communicate well, it makes your day long, hard, and uncomfortable. Even worse, if you've ever had a situation where you're trying to communicate to someone a need that is not being met or a thing you need getting in and is not getting through, that can be also painful. So I start with it's great communication avoids pain. Amazing communication creates joy, connection, success, and impact. And so communication is vital. I would argue the most vital skill set one needs to have a fulfilling career. So love your thoughts.
I mean, that's it, Brandon. That was the whole show. You basically just hit the nail on the head. And oftentimes when Brandon and I are talking about the topics that would be most relevant, we like to tap into kind of the collective unconscious and imagine what is kind of weighing on people's minds in the world. And then we also draw from our own lives. And for me personally, I definitely had opportunities for growth in communication today. And I think communication is not just a one-time thing. It's about building trust with the people you're working with the people you have in your personal, professional lives, that it's safe to communicate feelings. And I think that in many situations, we're taught, maybe to go back to your earlier point, Brandon, from a young age, that maybe we're not allowed to say what we want, or maybe we're not allowed to say that we don't want something. And I think that in the job and in the work environment, that can really be a detriment to us, because think about it, we might have hopes, desires, dreams, and wishes for ourselves. And yet if we can't articulate that, or if we don't feel free and trust that we can say what we really want or what we don't want, then that can lead to you taking on job duties that you don't want, working with a manager you don't want. And it starts from step one, from the moment that you sit down in the first interview and communicating with whomever the hiring person is, as well as the leadership team in that group, and all the way through to when you're leading a meeting or doing a Zoom call, whatever it might be. How do we learn to harness our capacity to have our voice? We were talking to Arthur Samuel Joseph a couple of episodes ago about learning to harness the power of our voice. And what we didn't really get into is how do we do that? You know, we talked about, and you went through, and you were a very brave soul to work with Arthur on a lot of that, Brandon. How do we tap into learning to communicate from an authentic place that leaves us and the people around us empowered? What do you think?
Yeah, I you know, it's so interesting. I never said this and I'll try it out. You know, sometimes it's not learning a new behavior, it's unlearning bad behaviors. And if we've been in, a lot of times we carry on. One of the things I like to coach people on when they're going in for an interview for a new job, if they're leaving a bad job, I kind of coach them to not talk about that, because if they're being authentic, then they're going to show some emotion that isn't ideal. However, that is the reality of which they're living in. So what I try to tell people is like, hey, focus on the future if you're talking about the past. Because what happens is now what they've done a lot of times is suppress how they feel and they buried it. But what happens in an interview is the interviewer's like, they're not, I don't know. I didn't feel a connection. I didn't feel something with them. They're holding something, right? They know. We know. We know. People know. One of the best studies ever came out was with doctors. Doctors, historically, if they made a mistake, the first thing they would never do, or the only thing they would ever do, is not apologize. Because they thought that if they apologize, they would get sued. And what study after study after study has shown is that if the first thing doctors do after they mess up is, I'm sorry, here's what happened. And it can be like, we left a sponge in you. We did this. Or they have a 75 to 80% less chance of getting sued for malpractice. Because immediately they're communicating. And I think that people know. And the whole thing that doctors assume, because they thought they were like geniuses. This is out of Johns Hopkins' study. They thought they were geniuses. And they were like, we know better. No, the person may not have the medical degree you have, but they know something's wrong in their body. We know. We have this intuition. But we learn these bad behaviors to bury how we feel. Now, the way I would set people loose in interviews, when I was a trial attorney, witnesses, and now as an executive coach into the world to get the dream jobs and show up as big leaders as I so often do, just coaching them to, you know, impact thousands, is bring you. You know, what I would used to tell my clients as a lawyer was like, you're not Meryl Streep, you're not Pacino. Probably choose someone different these days. That was a decade ago. But I think that what I would say is just be you. Let the jury decide. Let the interviewer decide. Let your people decide. It is unlearning these patterns that we think we're communicating in a way that we're hiding something. People know. Give the benefit of the doubt to sift through. And then one of the things you and I talked about, if you're having a bad day, you're late for the interview, you're struggling, your kid's sick, whatever it might be, bring it. Talk about it. I worked for someone. I don't know if you ever worked for someone like this, Jennifer, but if they were having a bad day, the entire law office was having a bad day. I saw this in recruiting. I've seen this a lot in my coaching. I don't like those people. And the reason is that they're burying how they feel. They're not communicating how they feel. So now they just are feeling crappy and they want everyone else to feel crappy.
I so love that, Brandon. It's funny you say that, because when I was working in my old recruiting firm that I ran, I would literally tell my team, God forbid, if you're having a tough day, man, if you've just been like emotionally put through the ringer and it is a struggle to show up on that Zoom call or in the office, be in communication, because otherwise people might take it personally. And that's what we don't realize. We're all going around with these little thought bubbles in our heads. Oh, Brandon doesn't like me. He thinks I messed up. He can't count on me. And yet we're never actually speaking about all these things. And so what I used to do with my team is, when I went into an office, I would literally say to them, I'd say, guys, I am so sorry. I had insomnia last night. I got about 3 hours of sleep. If you could just be compassionate with me, I'll do the best I can. I might just not have the bandwidth to be as quick, or I might, you know, say something inadvertently, and please bring it to my attention if I do. And I just want you to know I'm operating at maybe 60% today. And that's where communication comes in. And the same is true. This used to drive me crazy with interviews, is that we would have somebody who would have an interview scheduled at 9:20, I would get a call. Hi, Jen, this is Susie. And I just want you to know that I'm running late. I'm like, yeah, I know you're running late. I got a call 20 minutes ago that you're not at the interview. And here's the thing. When we know, you know, a half hour before, you know, unless it's just some weird thing where there is literally an accident right before and you can't walk in your high heels or you have uncomfortable shoes, you know, 20 to 30 minutes advance, you're going to be late, or at least 5 or 10 minutes, be in communication. And yet so many of us are terrified for some reason, somewhere along the line in our life, we were suppressed or told it wasn't okay to be late. And so instead of owning up to it, then we would just show up 30 minutes late, not show up at all, no show, miss the job of our dreams. And so what would it take for you to be in communication? Just to say, hey, you know, either one, maybe you think to call 10 minutes, or maybe you're dealing with an emergency and your dog is at the vet and you're on the phone with your significant other and they're handling it and you literally are now late and it's already too late to give them advance notice. The first thing you just say is, I apologize. You know, I didn't mean to cause a delay. Is this still a convenient time? And just honor and acknowledge where the other person is at, yeah, and say, and if you need me to reschedule, totally okay. I'm okay with that. So what do you need from me so that way we can have this work? And that's it. It becomes a partnership rather than an accidental adversarial relationship.
You just gave a masterclass on communication, by the way. You did this thing there where you said, hey, I'm running late. I value your time. Is this still a good time? And what you're doing is, this person who's now felt out of control now has a modicum of control. And so often what will happen with an interviewer is, if they're feeling out of control, you've wasted their time, they're just going to now go, no, don't even come. I don't care. You're not for us. But if you just give them a sense of, like, you know what? It is a really busy day, but I'll squeeze you in. All of a sudden, you've put them back in a position where they're not feeling like they're spiraling. So I do love that. The other thing that you did, and this is coming up a lot, I'm doing a 360 for a big company right now and one of their major teams. And one of the big things that's coming up throughout is a through line through communication is transparency or trust. And whenever I hear, it doesn't matter which comes first, chicken or the egg in this moment, which is to say, if it's trust that comes first, then I'm like, well, then that's lacking. Then there's probably not transparency. If there's lack of transparency that comes about, there's probably lack of trust. My point is this. When you went to your team saying, I am having this kind of day, if I do anything that is not in alignment with how I should be treating you, you are creating transparency, and that allows them to trust you more. The problem in an environment, a culture, a company, or in an interview where there is not trust and transparency, which does take time, is that you're not getting all of the information that you need. And if you're not getting all the information you need, then you're not getting the data you need to make an informed decision. So, and this is very good for interviewers. If you're not putting your people as an interviewer into a place of safety, you're not going to get the information you need to hire them. If as an interviewee, you're not putting your person at ease, they're not going to be asking. They're not going to be able to listen to what you're saying. So it's a two-way street. But I'm a big fan of transparency. Lay it out there. What do you got to lose?
Yeah, and it all depends on how open or how defensive what our body language is. Let's say, even if it's on Zoom, I'll give you a great example. Many years ago, I had a senior litigation paralegal who showed up to an interview. And the whole interview, for whatever reason, it was his own thing. Our body language speaks as much as our words do or don't speak. So the guy goes into interview. I can't even do this without kicking over my computer. And he literally like leans back and he's like, has a leg kicked up on the table. He's like, yeah, so I'm good. Did you see that article? They wrote an article about me in the LA Times. You want to hire me, don't you? Like, you can't even make this up. Or the reverse is, you're having a tough day and you don't even realize it, but the whole interview, your arms are crossed or your head is down or you're not making eye contact. And so for some people, and culturally, it depends. One of my best friends happens to be Chinese, and she shared with me, I was coaching her with her job search over the years, that culturally for her, it's not appropriate to make eye contact. And so it really took a lot of getting used to for her to practice, in some cases, making eye contact, or to share with the person, say what's in the space, call out the elephant in the room, whether it's that you're running late or whether for whatever reason, culturally or otherwise, you're not comfortable with making eye contact. When you say whatever that thing is that the other person is going to be thinking, then all of a sudden you've just cleared the space. You've just cleared up whatever that thing was in the space that was going to prevent people from being able to be with you. You know, if you say, you know, my kid has a fever, or, you know, sometimes I struggle when I first get to know with people with making eye contact. I'm going to do the best I can, and I promise it's something I'm working on. You know, just sharing with people where you're at so that you can have compassion for yourself and they can have compassion for you.
Yeah, I did this training session. We talked about imposter syndrome on our podcast last week, but I did this training session on imposter syndrome. And one of the things that I'll never not do again, but when the first slide two, I just asked it, who was, I explained what imposter syndrome was, that feeling of being a fraud, even though you're having success. And we asked the audience how many people had imposter syndrome, and non-verbally, right? Just the yes, 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 like hand up, 80, 90%. That set the tone for what I would say is the best session I've ever been a part of. The most vulnerable, the most authentic, the most highly communicative was as simple as a hand that went up. The other thing with Zoom, I just want to point this out because we're so, I think is why we have Zoom fatigue. You have to kind of look at the whole time, stare, 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 stare. You're supposed to stare at a dot. You're not even supposed to stare at the person, blah, blah, blah. I talked to someone today and their, I could tell their laptop was low, so they were never looking at me, which is fine. But the other thing I do is I take a lot of notes when I talk to someone. And so because of that, I'll do it on my phone. Sometimes I do it on my computer, sometimes I do it on my phone. It depends. And I never, whenever I do that, I always say, hey, if you see me look down, it's because I'm taking notes. Because what is the first thing we're going to assume non-verbally? They're texting someone. They're writing someone else, right? If you see someone like this, you think, that is it. Like, announce what you're doing. You know, make a statement. And by the way, if you're somewhere, I also hate this. If like I'm somewhere, if I'm talking to someone, not hate, but in the communication world, if you hear in the background, dogs are barking, kids are crying, cars, just say it. Be like, hey, you know, otherwise, as the person on the other end, if especially if it's an interview where you're like, what the hell is going on back there? You know, like, you know, you're not paying attention. You're just like listening, like, they should, why are they ignoring their kid? You know, or why are they ignoring their dog? You know, whatever it might be. So I think the more you can just kind of go and humor, I mean, I'll say for 100th time, if you can inject humor into a stressful situation, the woman who wrote Manette, Hannah, I can't think of her last name for a second, but famous comedian, doesn't matter, Hannah, not Gatsby, but she has this famous special, but one of my favorite takeaways is humor is intensity and release. And if you're having an intense conversation, and you can hit the release valve, that is one of the highest levels of communication. Because you're just going like, we just, God, come on. You know, like, we just don't need to take it so seriously. You do that for someone, they're going to love you. That's communication. Communication is vital. So it's safety, it's trust, it's transparency. In your career, I've said this 1,000 times, if you are not listening, you're probably not saying the right thing. So great communication begins with our ears, not our mouths.
Yeah, and I think that that's so powerful, Brandon. And another thing that I just want to highlight that I think you mentioned and what you shared was this idea of just strength, just having the strength, whether it's to hit that release valve, whatever it is, you know, just summoning our inner courage and strength to do the thing that's uncomfortable. You know, sometimes there's this pressure, just like you were talking about with the comedian, right? And the release valve. There's so much pressure sometimes around us that we just feel like we're going to fall or break under the pressure. And even sharing that, I want to take it back because there was something that dawned on me as we were speaking earlier, and you were talking about why somebody left a job and say it was a quote unquote bad or maybe negative situation. One of the things that I learned from a communication standpoint, and this is true of any of us in any conversation, you can start to observe it in your own life, is that if something is a big deal, if we talk about it, if we emphasize it, if we say, oh, this thing happened and this guy, and you can like, and you start to spin off and start going off on a rant about this person. And if you make something a big deal, if you make something significant, it will become significant for the person you're listening to. That's what happens inadvertently. Now, when you're saying this about why you left a past job, I had so many job seekers over the years, thousands that I coached, who were fired, terminated. By the way, saying you were terminated or fired, there are much more eloquent ways to say that than saying I was terminated or fired, because those can be trigger words that might trigger the person you're speaking with. Instead, you could just say, you know, there was this company that I worked for. When I came on board, there was one person I was going to work with. And then about 6 months in, they assigned me to work with a different person. It just wasn't the right personality match. So we decided to part ways. And now what I learned from that, though, is that there are different types of personalities I can work with. My preference, though, is to work with people who are great communicators, great listeners, and who I have an open, trusting relationship with, because that's what tends to support me in being successful at what I do. And when we do that, Brandon, it's so incredible and so powerful, because we're not making it a big deal. Rather than saying, oh, you won't believe what happened, 6 months after I got here, they fired the guy I worked with, and then da, 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 da. So if you make something a big deal, it'll automatically become a big deal in the person who's listening, in a good or a bad way.
That's beautiful, right? That's wherever you put emphasis is what people focus on. It's one of the reasons I coach people, especially in an interview process, don't focus on the thing that has brought you a lot of pain, because you're going to bring a lot of pain to the interview. At the same token, don't ignore it, right? But it's exactly where we focus people's energy, where we go. Look, one of the keys to great communication to avoid that is to figure out what matters to the person you're communicating with. And how do we do that? We ask questions. I mean, we should just do an entire show, the entire show on the power of questions and what they mean. I love doing 360s. And one of the most common feedbacks I get is, you got people to be open. And I say, of course, I start with confidentiality, number one. After I created that space, I just start asking them questions about the company. And because it's inherently authentic, I'm just interested in them. You know what people love to talk about them? Talk about themselves. Like, most people like to talk about themselves unless they're in pain. And then guess what? You can still get them to talk about themselves. You just have to talk about what they're passionate about or what means something to them. No one wants to talk. We've all been, I love this idea. If it's boring for you to talk about, it's boring for the listener. If it's exciting for you to talk about, it's exciting for the listener. So Jennifer, I see you laughing.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like, if you see it, so often we don't read the cues. That's the thing. You're not reading the cues. And you're not seeing if the person is able to receive what you are sharing. If you are monologuing about something and you're droning on and you see the interviewer's eyes start to glaze off, or you see them kind of looking down at their phone or whatever it might be, then you just might want to pause. And you could even make a joke, you could pivot, and you could say, well, what does that mean to you? Or tell me why what matters to you? A great question, one of the most powerful questions that I was ever asked in a leadership conference I was in. Is what really matters to you? Bring that up in any conversation, any interview, and watch the person's face light up. And then as the interviewer begins to light up and get excited, or your boss, if you're talking about this in a review, you've just shifted the dynamic, because now they're talking about what they're passionate about, and it's contagious. It's really powerful.
Yeah, and I think that's a great one. If you want a raise, don't talk about the raise. Talk about the impact you've had. Talk about the work you're doing. Talk about what you're excited about. Talk about the future. Talk about all the things that are going to happen and have happened. Geek out with your boss. And then be like, by the way, and leave it to the end. By the way, I actually wanted to bring it up. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'd like to discuss if it's okay with you. We have a tendency, it's why we... I mean, service providers, right? If someone calls me or tells me something, it's the first thing we do is we go, no, right? It's communication. The second you get that phone call and you pick it up, I fall for it every now and again, right? I don't know the number, but I'm worried that's someone I need to talk to. And it's within a second I know, right? It's the way they communicate. So it matters. You got to think about, to your point, Jennifer, the other person.
Yeah, what just dawned on me, Brandon, that could be very powerful for each of you listening out there is a concept that I may have shared before called proactive confrontation that bears mentioning again. It's a Kabbalistic thing that anybody can do. You don't need to know what Kabbalah is, makes no difference. We know intuitively if somebody is able, if it's a good time. Your boss, like there was a leadership training I was doing one time on empowering your team. And a woman who was in the training said, I have to have this conversation that's very with one of my partners, and I'm very worried about it going in. He's very enraged and upset right now. And I was like, why are you doing it now then, Jasmine? Why not wait 30 minutes or wait a day? And she's like, wow, I guess I never realized that I could wait. And it's about timing. Timing is the crux of most of our communication, because you might have the most brilliant thing to say, but if you're saying it at the wrong time, it could be asking for the raise. It could be talking to one of your colleagues or team members. It could be in an interview. You need to time things right. And so just imagine asking yourself briefly internally, just go internally and say, can this person receive what I'm about to say? Can this person receive the critique I'm about to give them if it's a review? Can this person receive that I'm about to ask for a raise? You know, if you know that your boss just had a dog die or went through a hardship, you might want to time it when they're, you know, in a better space and more receptive. So just acting and pausing right before we do anything, pause and say, is this a good time? Is this person able to receive it? And 99% of all communication breakdowns could be solved with that one thing.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point, which is if someone's having a hard time or they're going through something, communicate with action. Right. I know a great CEO that when someone goes, I've seen them do this time and time again for employees. Someone goes through something, what's personal or professional, and they act. They go, I'm going to give you an extra $5,000 to handle that flood you had in your house, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Communicate through actions as well as your words. It's so important. Email. Right? Email communication, worth mentioning. My favorite new geeked out study. I love studies. 50 to 125 words. That is the perfect amount of words in email. Too short. I coached someone for years. And the number one thing all their employees said about him, because I did a 360 for him, was too curt, too short, doesn't care. And he's a busy, you know, he's busy. He's a lawyer. General counsel of a major company. All of a sudden, started writing three sentence emails. Did another 360. Everyone loves him. Oh my God, he changed. He didn't change. He just like, oh, okay. By the way, have a good day. You know, whatever it was. 50 to 125 words. Why? Because you increase your response rate by something like 85%. Isn't that crazy? Like you will get a response rate at a higher rate. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, Brandon, you're preaching to the choir. So I think I've mentioned on the show before, I have Asperger's and I've been diagnosed with it. And it kind of illuminated and made so much sense in retrospect when the first 5 years I ran my company, people just felt that I was cold and unwarm. But for me, I would send an email, do this, don't do that, move on to this. And then somewhere along the line, I had a business coach who helped me to understand that I had this deficiency. And he said, Jen, let's soften your language. What if we throw in a, how are you? Hope your day is well. Have a great day at the end. So I will literally to this day write my email and then I have to go back and reinsert pleasantries of just, hey, hope all is well. And just be thoughtful because it doesn't occur to me naturally to do that.
Jennifer, you've mentioned that before, that Asperger's and et cetera. One of the things that I noticed that you do exceptionally well, at least in the communication that's transformed the way I've experienced you and so many do, others do, is you're actually a master of communicating your pain or past pain. And I think that's so important because it's the ability for everyone has gone through that, whatever the suffering or the doubt or the, I think yours is like an aha moment that you could be better, right? Some version of that. But the point is that like when you express your pain, I think it is this, oh, isn't Jennifer perfect? Isn't she great? Isn't she amazing? Blah, blah, blah. She's the queen and queen. But, and she is, you're a total badass. You always have been. But the point is when you communicated that, it allowed a connection, at least for me. And that's something I need. I think that I mentioned that to you now, because that is probably why you've had really good connections during COVID, because COVID is the time where we don't want everybody, like everything is hunky dory, never been better. I mean, I know people that that's true for, but most people I know, most are struggling in their personal life, in their professional life. All I'm saying is that if you can communicate a little bit of your pain, it allows someone to communicate a lot of theirs. And a lot of times people are holding it tight because they don't want to share it. Last thing that I saw lately that is my favorite cartoon, and I think I cannot emphasize enough for your career. If you are finding yourself in a cycle of communicating negatively and speaking negatively, it's probably because there's some garbage in your head. Someone put those bags there. Something happened a long time ago. And I saw a cartoon that changed my life recently, which is just the back of someone's head is open and there's just someone unloading garbage bags out the back of it. It is hard to do that for yourself because someone else put those bags in there, but you're the one who kept them there. Communicate what you want to someone, what you want to get rid of, what you want to move towards, and see if in tandem you guys can't remove that garbage. Because I'll tell you this, the more you remove negative stuff, the more you're going to communicate positively. And that's where bullies go. Bullies are rarely just mean. They're people who have a lot of bad things that I put in their head a long time ago by some worse people. And now they're sick. They're trying to get that garbage out by saying it to you. I don't respect them, but I empathize with that pain. I value and respect the people who have all that and somehow manage not to spurt out negativity, but try to be positive for others. If you do that, I mean, that's hero status, in my humble opinion. That's glorious. That's Abraham Lincoln. That's anyone, Malala. That's anyone who's changed the damn world. Has had garbage in their head and somehow had the fortitude to try to get it out on their own volition, but not spew it out towards others. And if you do that in your career and your life, I think you're a superhero. I really do.
So beautiful, Brandon. And I was actually tearing up as you were talking, because as you know, before we came on today, I had what I like to call an opportunity for growth today. You know, my husband and I had a discussion earlier, and, you know, he had one perspective and I another. And something that I personally struggled with, going back to the email thing, is that sometimes I'm not designed to empathize. You know, some of us, my husband and I had a lengthy chat about it. If you have somebody who is designed to run a sprint, that person's designed to run a sprint. Could you teach them to run marathons or long distance and be Olympic level? Probably, but that person is designed naturally to run a sprint, and it might take all of their energy and time and effort to learn to run a marathon instead and to be an expert medal-winning person at it. And one of the things that I sometimes struggle with is empathizing. I can sympathize all day long, and yet sometimes people just don't feel like I can hear them. And so I think it's really important. The reason I want to tie this in as a closing thought for our show today on communication is to understand and have compassion. We're all designed differently. We are all designed differently. That's what the beautiful thing about what you brought up earlier, Brandon, about questions, is that person A might be designed to sit there. My business partner, amazing, got on a call with her. I could barely even do the call, talk about like showing up to a meeting because I was just, you know, hurt and going through a myriad of emotions. And she just heard me and she just got where I was coming from. And she is a master empathizer. And then somebody else might be more logical and is going to rationalize. And it could be a colleague, it could be a friend, whoever it might be. And the more that we can understand and have compassion for how we're designed as human beings, how one another are designed as human beings. There's great free websites out there like Gene Keys, G-E-N-E Keys, K-E-Y-S. You put in your birthday and a few things and it gives you like astounding information. And when you start to do this and you start to play with it and dance with it and understand what are the shadow aspects of yourself and start to talk with your team and the people you work with, what are their shadow aspects? And the more you shine a flashlight on it, it's kind of like those dust mites. I just had the most amazing experience in Paris 2 days ago. I was in a bathtub and the sun was coming through as the Parisian sun does, and billions of little dust particles started sparkling in the air like billions of stars. But all it was the dust that you normally can't see walking around. And that's like us in the world, is that we don't realize there's all these little dust particles, this garbage, this whatever it might be, some good, some bad, some sparkly, some stinky. And the more that we can shine the light on it, the more that we can illuminate ourselves and the relationships that we have with others, and most importantly, the relationship that we have with ourselves. And when you have a healthy, balanced relationship with yourself, it often allows you to show up in a more healthy and balanced way in all of your personal and professional relationships.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love that analogy, the unseen. And, I'll finish with this. There's a lot of people in this world, even your interviewer, we've talked about this a lot today, that might be going through something you don't see. They might be in a bad mood. You know, one of the things I've seen interviewees and interviewers do, and I've seen great managers do this and employees do this. I'm just saying it works both ways. It's like, you seem like something's up, something going on. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are defensive. No, nothing. Right. And if they do that, definitely something's going on. But if you can just acknowledge that someone has their own dust and their own garbage in their head and their own anything. And if you just take a pause and beat to check in, if they want to go there, they can. If they don't, they don't. But I'll tell you this, I think in career, when you can get someone to open up and say, here's what I'm experiencing, they're going to provide a better experience for you. And so I really encourage everyone to go out, be acknowledged, recognize what's going on inside yourselves, recognize what's going on with others. And most importantly, as you communicate, don't just have the goal of being heard. Have the goal of understanding and being understood. And if you do that, those are the people that I see that are not just living their best careers, they're living their best lives. And that is sort of the secret to just fulfillment and getting the job.
Beautiful, my friend. Well, I'm so grateful. You know, I've been joining you here from Paris. There was a bit of a rainstorm, so I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to join you today. I was texting Brandon vigorously earlier. I'm like, buddy, you might have to do this one on your own. So it was a miracle that we were able to come to you today. And thank you for your listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the people out there who are sharing this and rating the episode on iTunes. We deeply appreciate it and receive it. And if you want to share it, we definitely encourage you to share it. If there was something that resonated with you, hit the share button, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. Go out there and share it. And as an aside, I'd love to do a different show on this. Go out and watch Free Guy. I just watched that movie a couple days ago, new movie with Ryan Reynolds. Completely rocked my world. It's just such a beautiful analogy to the lives we live. And what if we could really see beyond the illusion of what we think life is? So I'm Jennifer Cahill. You've been here with myself and my friend Brandon, and wishing you a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.